Another notch of crazy on the loony belt. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, Kinzel. I'm talking.
Oh! All right, everybody. It's time for a brand new episode of Plan Banter. Today on the show, all new Marvel Now, number ones, Fantastic Four number one, Moon Knight number one, New Warriors number one, Miss Marvel number one, Avengers World number one through three. Did
Butt
I say
fuck,
Moon Knight?
One.
You did say Moon Knight.
All right, well, that's all of them. As always, I'm
Butt
your host.
Buddy, number one.
Dressing in, totally does not call attention to itself, white suit with crescent moon everything on it, Richard.
Ballsack Marvel number one.
The all-new, all-different Ballsack, number one.
Ballsack World,
Ballsack
World.
Amazing Ballsack.
Aw, come on, this is orange juice. With a little vodka. It's Jason. the giant city of crime-ridden Madripoor rides on his back. It's Michael.
Yes! I'm a dragon. Eat that, Gilpin.
And I don't know, since when is that character a superhero? It's Kenzel!
Can you imagine if this is the first episode anyone ever listened to us and we're just talking about ball sacks in the fucking intro?
I can only imagine their delight.
Asterisk, editor's note, see episodes.
Started the ball sack running gag. Be sure to see this.
Hey, whoever's been doing our wiki page, get on that.
First appearance of ball sack. This is the first time we talked about Avengers.
Ball sack Avengers.
It's lived on forever.
Max's Toys and Games. Yeah, so I can give you a little bit of details on Max's Toys and Games. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them on Twitter. Their Twitter handle is at Max Toys and Games, just Max Toys and Games. Both of them, you can check out and give them a follow on there. The guy that runs the place is a guy by the name of Shannon Farrell. He's a pretty good friend of mine. Was kind enough to sponsor some of our comic endeavors going forward. So it's downtown Corbin at 202 Main Street if you ever get a chance to go to it. But you can find him on Twitter and Facebook. He's does a lot more on Twitter because he does some pretty decent contests, usually at least every week, and gives away something. It's just different every week. So usually highlights whatever specials and stuff he has. So yeah, check it out.
Check it out.
So everybody out there, whenever you are planning to make your pilgrimage to Corbin, to go to the,
I like that pilgrimage, Michael.
To go to the first KFC. Make sure that you stop by Max's Comics and Games.
Can you buy
Toys and
KFC
Games
online?
I'm sorry, Toys and Games.
You can get this. What's their? You said
he's got
eBay
his
store?
Priorities straight.
Is it eBay or Amazon store?
I think both, but I'll try and get the links for him, and I'll put them up on the Facebook.
Sweet.
All right, I followed him on the Twitters.
Yeah, please do. Get him some links.
And you said Shannon Farrell is the owner?
Yes.
I'll just follow him, too, because he's on there.
Let's talk about New Warriors first.
Okay.
Because
let's talk about New Warriors.
It's hilarious that it is Marvel Teen.
I don't understand how these guys are part of the Marvel team.
Yeah, they're all
because
obviously
Kane's like a 30-year-old man.
20. Well, yeah, like Kane's an adult.
Well,
and
because
so are Justice and Speedball
because of Nova.
Hey, it's because of Nova and Hummingbird.
Hummingbird,
which
yeah.
I didn't know Araceli or whatever from Scarlet Spider had a superhero ID, much less that she turned into like a green chick. I thought that was like Gamora Jr.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I kind of did too.
I looked on the cover, I was like, oh, I guess Gamora's got a niece.
So, number one, I enjoyed it. I didn't love it, but I like Chris Yost's plotting. And I liked the book. It wasn't enough to make me want to buy more, per se. I would be interested to read the first arc of that book. But I do love Vance Astro.
You know, I'm with you, Michael. I kind of feel the same way. You guys know I'm a big fan of the Scarlet Spider. I really enjoyed his book. And it's fine him being on this team. I still don't really understand the real makeup of the team, but whatever. I'm kind of like you, though, Michael. I kind of like to see read the first arc to see
Like to see where it goes, because it has potential for me. It didn't sell me with that first issue, but I feel that it has potential.
I think that this book is indicative of a problem we're going to run into with a lot of, like, the number ones, and we're doing almost entirely number ones this episode.
Yeah.
In that they're doing, like, basically a pilot for, like, a TV show. It is, like, this is how they meet up and this is how they are. It's not like, you know, like, all the way back in 1968 or whatever with Uncanny X-Men number one, where they're just already a team and they show you in a flashback how they met up. And it's like, Professor X found all of us. Like, there's a conflict that's going to unify all of them, et cetera, et cetera. And... like, it suffers a little bit for being that, but also is like a guy who has read a lot of Chris Yost stuff and kind of sees a lot of his work as like an unfulfilled promise of potential. I think this is one of the strongest things I've ever read from him.
Okay.
It's that and Avenging Spider-Man.
Oh, he wrote Avenging Spider-Man
15.1 or whatever, the one immediately after Amazing 600 or whatever.
Yeah.
That was, like, also outstanding. And he did Avenging Spider-Man, which that was... parts of it were really good. Parts of it were, like, man. And like I said, that had a big build-up to the Sinister Six thing that, like, the build-up to it was more interesting than the execution. But that was also the debut of, like, that Sun Girl character who was the daughter of, not Dr. Light. Is it just Dr. Sun? Sun Master?
Sun Lord. Sun Star.
It's an old spec Spidey villain that hasn't appeared in a long, long time.
Sunman.
Or, like...
Sunmaster?
Brother Light and Sister Moon? I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to take up too much time because has nothing to do with any of this.
Has New Salem showed up anywhere else before?
Yeah, West Coast Avengers.
Oh, okay.
Salem 7 is an old thing. That'd be like the Shadow Pact. Not the Shadow Pact. Whatever the hell the group of... occult heroes out in California that's led by the Shroud would show up, and I think they actually did show up relatively recently. Anyway, Salem 7 and, like, that whole thing is, like, related to Agatha Harkness and all that.
Okay.
It's been a while. I believe they're in Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch, Vision and the Scarlet Witch, but that's neither here nor there. They did a good job of setting that place up, and they established really well who Speedball is. I think this issue is, like, a real credit to, like, selling him as a character past, you know, that weird bit where, you know, everyone remembers him as Penance. I think people remember him as Penance far more than they ever remembered him as Speedball at that point. And, you know, he got better in The Initiative and Avengers Academy. But, you know, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed it a lot more than I was expecting to. I was just kind of like, well, this is free because of a Marvel Teen TED Talk hosted by Niles Rogers, of all people. They were like, be sure to listen to get the code, and I just got the code off a message board and used it, but I mean, you know, whatever. It was surprisingly entertaining for what it was. I liked the dynamic between the current cast members. I didn't know that Nova was fighting Dire Wraiths.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me, because that's definitely a Dire Wraith.
Okay, now, this might just be me, but... does it not feel like they're writing Nova younger than he was in his own book?
No.
I can't tell you how old Nova's supposed to be, but that's going to progressively become more and more of a problem as time goes on and the character isn't allowed to age.
Yeah.
It's the Frank Richards thing. How old, Chris, do you remember how old he's supposed to be?
Seems like he's like 12, 13.
Yeah, I was going to say he's 12 or 13 year old. He's
old enough to have, like, hormones.
He's old enough to be a freshman in high school was like what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not he might have skipped a year.
If he's a freshman, then he's probably 14 or 15.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, he's somewhere in that age range. I'm assuming he cannot possibly be in middle school.
Okay, then he's probably...
I mean...
because the girl he liked had like tattoos and nose piercings and stuff, right?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, whatever. Maybe she's got very permissive parents. But they do have the name of his school in that first issue of Nova. I just kind of forgot to check to see if it was a high school. It is funny that Nova is going to be both a New Warrior and an Avenger, even though he hasn't done anything in an Avenger book. It's just they're very desperate to have Nova join every team possible, it seems like.
I mean,
like, he's the most popular guy who's ever lived. Everyone wants to hang out with this 14-year-old.
He's so cool. I wish.
We talked about it before. I mean, I really liked the first arc of Nova. I thought it was really good. I kind of fell off before all the craziness of what was the crazy Avengers storyline we just read?
Infinity.
Infinity. I fell off before he got involved in Infinity in a very tertiary way, but I guess I should get caught back up.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, they've changed writers twice, but I like Jerry Duggan or Gary Duggan or however the hell you're supposed to say it. I'm assuming it's Jerry, but you know, I don't know for sure. But New Warriors is like a soft recommendation for me.
Yeah.
I can't say that I was wild about it, but it was interesting, and I can't tell you who the hell this Namora is at all, because there's Namora, there's Namorita, and
there's a thousand of them. I can't keep them straight. I was very confused on who they were, too, and I was hoping
Maybe that's a title.
I was hoping someone would give clarification during this
That's their last name. I mean, I don't know, but I don't know if it's supposed to be the old, Namorita from New Warriors, I think, because I think Namora is the one in Agents of Atlas, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend too much time on minor stuff.
But, I liked it. I didn't, love it like it. Yeah, I'm trying.
It surprised me with how much I liked it, but it
but now I do
was not
love,
a love for
I do love those characters, and I want to like it more because I really want to see those characters more, because I love Justice. I really, really love him.
I love Speedball, one of the last creations of Steve Ditko.
And Speedball's great. I mean,
well, last non-weird ones, I guess.
And he's pushing the envelope.
But
I don't know. It's just something about seeing Justice eating ice cream that was just dumb to me. But
Justice eating ice cream.
Yeah.
That's what you didn't like.
That's what I didn't like. I don't know. It just turned me off. Sorry.
You're weird.
I got to have a different perspective once in a while.
You can't have – he's the Brad Pitt of comic book characters. He's always eating something or something.
Yeah. All right. So
what the hell is that? Okay, well, I didn't say anything.
Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel.
Or wait, do you want to – what's about New
Let's move on.
All right.
Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel. Chris, what'd you think?
I got to admit, I went into this book with zero expectations, but I really liked it. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I liked the there was a specific scene, and I've got it pulled up on my iPad here. When they had the dinner.
Yes.
The dinner dad? I thought was amazing.
I love the dad.
Do what?
I said I love the dad.
The dad is great. Obviously, they're a Muslim family, right?
Yeah, they're they're a Pakistani
Muslim.
Pakistan,
correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And I thought it was just fascinating how the son is much more religious than the dad. And the dad's like, well, you can pray all you want to, but you need to get a job. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Well,
and then, of course, he's just being an overprotective dad of his daughter, you know, not wanting her to go to a party.
And here's the thing that I find specifically about that scene is that the writer of this book is also a Pakistani Muslim. And there is a movement among especially some of the of our generation of Pakistani Muslims, that they are a little overzealous when it comes to their non-acclimation of Western attitudes. And so if they are in the West, they overdo it a bit, like her brother's doing. You know, he was the only one wearing overtly traditional garb, you know, and praying constantly and all that stuff. And it was a neat little... It's a neat way, you know, to kind of talk about that stuff, because it is set in New York City, and, you know, that is a...
It's in Jersey.
Well, yeah, it's in Jersey.
She's across the river.
Okay.
They're branching out.
It's in the tri-state area.
It's set in New York City. And
completely new state.
Yeah.
It's wacky.
Really? Really? You're going to call New Jersey a completely new state from New York?
That was the joke.
I know. Now, you see, what's going to happen, though, is that Chris Christie is going to keep her from getting into New York.
Yeah, she can't get in.
Yeah, she can't get in.
She helped. She gave a dollar to the
But I really do like, I love her and her friend, I forget.
Kiki.
Well, no, she doesn't like to be called Kiki, Nakika or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's Nakia.
Nakia, yeah. I like
the blind girl.
No,
the one who had the headscarf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, not the blonde girl.
I don't remember. I don't remember Kiki at all.
She was the friend who was talking to her in the convenience store.
Okay.
When she was ogling the meat.
So she wasn't at the party or anything?
No, she wasn't.
No, she was not at the party.
No, it was the dude that was at the party. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably why.
The clerk at the store was at the party.
Who got relieved by Vocal Bob or whatever his name
Chatty
was.
Bob
Chatty
or
Bob. Yeah, Chatty Bob, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. What's this? G. Willow Wilson's her
name?
Yeah,
G. Willow Wilson.
What else has she done?
She did Air over at Vertigo. That's the main thing, because I think she was nominated for a couple of new voice awards or something.
I think so. Okay.
Because here's the thing, and what everybody thought when we heard about this book happening, they're like, Ms. Marvel is going to be a 16-year-old Muslim girl? Well, they're just, you know, pandering to the liberal idea, yada, 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 whatever. But it turns out that the book, it wasn't really that at all, and the way the story worked out just worked really well, in my opinion.
I really liked it. I like the hint at what her powers are by the fact that after she gets hit by the Terrigen Mist Bomb, that she comes out looking like classic Miss Marvel. And because
semi-classic Miss Marvel, that is her second costume.
This is true, yes. Semi-classic Miss Marvel.
Technically third costume if you're counting where she changed some stuff, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know, the wedge heels thing was funny.
Yes.
Because I was like, that's the first costume. Like, that's the politically incorrect one.
Yeah.
The one where it's like, I'm gonna beat up you men, how dare you? And she's got, like, the navel cap or whatever, like the belly shirt.
Yeah.
Oh,
I really 70s. Liked Miss Marvel. I want to read more of Miss Marvel. I think it's going to be a really fascinating book.
Yeah,
you didn't like it.
Well, I was reminded when Richard did the reread of Runaways, or he read it for the first time, I guess. He was talking about Adrian Atalfa not being
Adrian Alfano has art.
Not being a very good artist, and I didn't really recognize it at the time when I read it. Apparently, but man, I saw it here. Dislike. He cannot draw a head and a neck that look in sync.
Well, okay. Here's my thing with that, though. Since she's going to be stretchy, I think that'll work.
But
her superpower is shape-shifting.
Yeah, it's shape-shifting, but it's
her, but she's
basically Mystique meets Mr. Fantastic. That's how we've seen her employ those powers so far. I don't know if she can literally, like, look like somebody else, like Mystique, but...
Well, she did. She looked like Miss Marvel, remember, at the end.
I mean,
I just can't imagine a lot of these characters talking the way they do. I don't know. It was a lot. Besides the family, I felt it was very pedestrian. The character interactions were like she had no idea what they were doing. The family stuff felt okay in terms of interaction, but like that first time that the blonde chick walks in and she starts ordering coffee, and the guy's like, "You come in every day, and it's never the same." Like, oh, my God.
He says we're not Starbucks.
Yeah, I was like, we're not Starbucks. Yeah, I tell you every day.
You have to fill it yourself.
Like, well, do you say that every day? I don't understand. Like, I don't understand that interaction. I see that, and I'm like, what do they talk about every day? Is this the only time he's ever been frustrated by it? I don't know. That's what I want to know.
I feel like that he was showing off.
Maybe, but he didn't seem like he was a show-off at all. He seemed like a perfect man, which, you know. I assumed he would be.
Oh, I like
written as the perfect guy.
Charlie or whatever the hell his name was.
Yeah, he was fine. He just is written like what I expected he would be.
Right, like if you're taking this as like the blueprint of everyone like wanting to make a new teen hero, mm-hmm. If you read any interview where people talk about making a new teen hero, they always talk about Spider-Man and those first issues of Spider-Man going back to that.
Uh-huh.
And you know, like that's whether or not G. Willow Wilson has said that in interviews, that is kind of like the impression you get from this. I don't mind. Mm-hmm. I like that her supporting cast had, like... I like that the supporting cast, for one, is set up.
Yeah,
You know, because, I mean, even if they're all familiar roles or whatever, you know, I'm not going to say they're too far outside the, like, realm of believability. She has the best friend. She has, like, the guy who likes her that she doesn't notice at all. You know, because he's like, oh, if only I were Pakistani or whatever, when she's walking off into the doom cloud of death.
And thought that she had been roofied. No, thought she could get drunk off of a sip of alcohol that she'd spit out, which honestly, I feel like that if anybody tried to spike Jason's drink, that would be the exact same thing that would happen to you, is that you'd be like, can you get drunk, you know, because yes. you have a zero tolerance for
that
alcohol.
That is exactly yeah. what it is.
So I see.
That's exactly how it is.
Yeah. Yes. So I thought that was
not a joke.
I thought that was kind of funny.
That is legit how I'd react.
Now, I wasn't really sure what to expect from this book, but I enjoyed it a lot. I was mm-hmm. impressed. I think a lot of the things that they've been using to sell it
are deceiving or misleading.
Yeah, or just they're just kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
And, you know, like if you read the letters page in there, like it's a lot of that where it's just people were automatically on board because of whatever. And it's cool if they're on because of that. But at the same time, I don't know if they're going to be disappointed when it isn't what they think it's going to be. There were a couple of things that made me roll my eyes, like her fan fiction thing. I was just like, ah, that's cute.
I kind
of that reminds
that
me of them doing the MMORPG
yeah.
in the very beginning of Runaways.
Runaways
yeah. just dated
I was exactly
so terribly.
I was going to bring that up. Like that shit just doesn't fly. And I knew there would be some like a teen hero fanfic writer at one point or another show up. And I don't know.
Hey, you got to live the dream.
Yeah,
man.
It's okay. I mean, like I said, I was expecting it, so I didn't mind it. It was just goofy. Because, you know, whatever. But, I don't know. The way that she wrote, I guess it's like a, I do think it's funny that she wrote in her fanfic, like, Captain America and Iron Man as you know, really boring and lame. And like, opposite of what they're really going to be when she meets them eventually.
I did like that Iron Man just added justice.
Justice, yeah. yeah. I thought that was very funny.
Apparently they were saving, like, the My Little Pony planet or
yes,
something.
Yeah,
from,
the
like,
My Little, yeah,
monster.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Ponies, yeah. yeah. I mean, I'm assuming she's also, like, a freshman in high school.
That's kind of about the impression that I got.
The guy she liked older than her?
I think he's probably 16-ish.
Yeah, I was thinking he was a sophomore or junior, because he is notably taller than her.
Well,
and he's
but,
got
you know,
a job.
He's also a guy.
And
oh, and he has a job. Good yeah. point. Derp.
So.
Thinking on there. Yeah.
But I love her family. Her family seems like her family to me seems like a lot of the family that was in Blue Beetle with Jaime. You know, like they seem like they're gonna hopefully they're gonna be around.
I did love the dead in Blue Beetle.
Yeah, they're gonna be around as a supporting cast. You know, and I like that. Like I can't wait to see what happens whenever her dad finds out she's a hero.
They're very the family's very loose on their friend policy because they're like, why don't you just invite your friend over on Friday night tonight in the span of 30 minutes? Like, trust me, having a friend come over when I was around that age was like an entire ordeal.
Well, yeah,
like,
but
parents got to call parents. It's like days ahead plan.
But again, this is
very loose.
These are Pakistani Muslims. That's like a hospitality type thing.
Yeah, they're also probably living in an apartment, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they have a house. Yeah. So, I mean, she could live like four floors down.
Still.
I mean, everyone's parents are different.
Hey,
my parents never had anyone over ever.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's bizarre.
We had people over all the time.
Yeah.
People would just show up and then they'd end up spending the night. So,
like your friends?
Yeah, my friends.
Like, my mom is very much the kind of person that, like, if, like, a bag of potato chips was on the counter, then no one was coming over because she was so embarrassed at how dirty the house is.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, this family seems very loose. That's my entire point.
No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
It's a juxtaposition to what you would assume a Muslim
family
would be.
Well, and especially since he was very adamant about her not going to the party.
I mean, yeah.
Because there were boys there, Michael.
Alcohol.
I doubt any of the kids there, their parents are okay with them letting them go to the party. They just snuck out, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I assume it's every party in high school. That's pretty much what it was.
I mean, you know. Like,
as much
it,
as a
it
hippie
is,
my mom is, she was very protective about parties, me going to.
It is neat that this is trying to, you know, break down, like, the normal stereotype of whatever. I actually, like, one of the kids on the speech team that I'm not going to name, she's Muslim, and she was originally from New York. She won't dance. She has the headscarf, no alcohol, all the normal stuff. But like her favorite thing in the entire world is like hardcore gangster rap. Like,
you know,
yes,
that's awesome.
She's so great at debate too. She's great. Yes, Miss Marvel of
Miss Marvel
like, the
awesome.
Teen titles. I like the Marvel, the ones in that book. I think it is easily the one that's the most accessible because you know we've read Nova and like it seems like I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed Nova. I don't know if it found direction because it seemed like it was immediately going to lose it once.
What
Jeff
was the other book in that team?
It was All New X-Men.
All New X-Men.
Oh, okay.
Which I mean, you know, like I don't know if I think that's entry level for anyone.
No,
because while it is enjoyable and I think it's the best work Bendis has done in like
since he started
since
on
he
Avengers
left Image.
Yeah.
Like, You know, probably since he stopped having stuff published by Image. Honestly, like, he's probably better since, like, the fifth volume of Powers.
It, in spite of himself, that book.
Yeah. Yeah, but,
I'm not going to call it entry level. And this is, like, the closest thing to that. Even then, I don't think New Warriors is at entry level.
No, it's...
Talking about Ms. Marvel, but, is entry level?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You don't have to know a fucking
You don't
thing.
Have to know anything.
You can watch that movie and then
it seems very accessible.
Yeah.
But speaking of supporting casts and how important they are, let's talk about Moon Knight. Number one.
Oh my god. Warren Ellis is such a fucking hipster, man. This fucking book. It's like...
Elaborate. Oh, I'm curious.
I knew you weren't going to like it.
Oh my god. Just Moon Knight in the suit. I was... it's like such a Warren Ellis thing to do. Like, it's... like that whole book just felt like Warren Ellis, what I imagine him writing a Moon Knight book would be. It was this. It was exactly it. I don't know how to describe it. Except, this is Warren Ellis 20 years removed from Transmetropolitan, trying to make a very urban mystery version of Transmetropolitan.
Okay, so someone...
Chris, you're way on the outside of all of that.
Can someone break down and we'll call it Kenzel Explain Moon Knight?
Did you like
Moon Knight? I had always heard the character name Moon Knight, but I don't know jack shit.
What's his dealio? Well, originally Moon Knight.
I read the book and I kind of understood it, but
Moon Knight was a mercenary named Mark Spector who, you know, he was a soldier of fortune, and he traveled the world, and the leader of like his group of mercenaries was this guy named Bushman, Raoul Bushman. And one day they got into it with this family outside of a tomb in a bizarre crossover of Metamorpho and Shazam's origin story.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
And Raoul Bushman killed him, and these villagers inside of Egypt or whatever took him to this statue and put him in front of it, and the Egyptian moon deity Khonshu appeared to him in a vision and said, "You're going to be my avatar on Earth, and you're going to fight evil if you agree to this," etc. And he was like, "Okie doke, sounds better than dying." So he became Moon Knight. And when he's got an interesting history, because Moon Knight is a character that a lot of people like, but no one seems to be able to really get to last. Even yeah. Bendis had like a Moon Knight. The previous series was a Bendis series.
Yeah, Bendis
it lasted for 12 issues.
Was Bendis and
Alex Malley, and apparently Echo died
Holy
in it.
Shit.
Yeah, Echo
Count
died.
Count Nefaria killed her.
LOL.
Yeah, I know. It's funny that Alex Maleev was drawing something and Echo showed up. Yeah. It's weird. The way they did it originally was that Moon Knight had different identities that he would take on because it was easier for him to operate that way. And one of them was a cab driver named Jake Lockley, and the other one was like his new made-up identity that was basically his quote-unquote Bruce Wayne, this character called Stephen Grant, that was like, you know, billionaire, wealthy playboy or whatever.
Is that the guy bombing around in the driverless limo?
I think the limo is just a robot.
Okay.
But, like, people took that further to the point where Moon Knight has multiple personalities or whatever.
Well,
like, they're not just IDs he takes on.
Associative identity disorder.
Yeah, disassociative identity disorder. Like, it's not just, like, where Bruce Wayne dresses up as Matches Malone or whatever. Like, he really thinks he is this person. And so for a while there, you know, it's like this. And the current take that Warren Ellis is going with is that, man, it's hard to, like, basically that those people were never, he never had it, yeah. You know? And maybe Mark Spector never existed, and maybe he thinks he is, like, the son of Khonshu in Mark Spector's body, just walking around. Like, he's literally possessed by this... Like, he's, like, possessed by Thor or something.
Okay.
And he's talking to Odin. Except maybe okay. not. It's a little hard to draw completely what that's supposed to be, especially because the issue ended a little abruptly.
Kind of did.
But, and, you know, like, when I flipped through it in the store or whatever, I actually thought that was Razor Fist that he was talking to there in the shield bunker.
Yeah.
But no, it was just a guy. Guy they don't even name.
Question. Like, how unknown is Moon Knight to the world?
To the like, you mean people who have never read comics in their entire life?
No, I mean in the Marvel Universe.
People know him. People know him, and
so
they don't like
him.
So
why is this fucking S.H.I.E.L.D. agent not know who the hell he is?
Because he looks different. He's dressed in a weird costume that makes him look like some kind of...
When he still said, like, who are you?
He looks like Uncle Max from...
Wow, that's funny.
From Death of a Salesman.
When he said he was Moon Knight, the guy was like, I don't know who the hell you are.
Dude, I don't know.
That's just the most bizarre fucking thing.
Yeah, because I always remembered him wearing this, like, white cloak, and now he's bombing around in, like, a tuxedo.
Yeah, like I said, it's Warren Ellis.
I don't know if... I didn't necessarily dislike it. I don't know if this take really works for me. I don't know. It's...
I was just bored by it more than disliked it. It just was...
It's different.
It's just blah, blah, blah.
Was it just me, or did the artist... Was the artist really trying to be John Romita Jr.?
I didn't get that at all.
Oh, you know, I got the impression he was actually trying to be...
I really thought
It's Declan Shalvey or
Declan Shavey or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, he's a 2008 AD guy. This is the cleanest work I've ever seen from him.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Like, his stuff in Thunderbolts I was very hot cold on, and it looked a little too much like a crappy version of the guy from Whiteout, Stephen...
McNiven?
I think it starts with an L. Steve Lieber.
Steve Lieber.
He looked like a shitty Steve Lieber, and I like Steve Lieber. Well, I don't want to say a shitty Steve Lieber. It just was not to my taste. This art I liked a bit more. I actually thought the art in the book was the strongest part. Oh, and as a quick side note about Ms. Marvel, the art did not completely work for me, but that's okay because I enjoyed the book despite that. Also, that weird Bollywood thing is like, whatever. If it got us there, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like the way that he defeated the guy, but at the same time, if this was meant to introduce people who have never read a Moon Knight comic in their entire life,
that would give people a migraine.
Did not do a good job.
Yeah, it's way too on the fucking outside.
Who knows to give a fuck about that.
It was pretty to look at.
They just wanted him to write a book, and he probably just threw a dart at a board and picked Moon Knight.
Yeah, actually, like when I was reading this, I was like, you know, I really wish Nathan Edmondson was writing a Moon Knight book.
Yeah, because like... One of us just hates superheroes, so I was just going to make him Rorschach. And
actually, yes, you are not the first person to say that to me, because when I was in the store yesterday and looking at this, Jordan,
he
the clerk...
He is kind of making him Rorschach.
He was like, yeah, he's pretty much this Rorschach in this. He's like, I didn't hate it, but at the same time, like Jordan said to me, I know he's not going to be in this book for longer than 8 issues.
Yeah.
I mean, and then someone's going to have to come clean up this mess.
That's exactly what it's going
to be. Yeah, that's been always been my problem with Warren Ellis, because with the exception of a few books...
We hate superheroes.
Well... And with the exception of a few books, he's there for 8 issues and then done.
Yeah. I mean, who cares? I was just kind of bored with the book. People were just yakking on about nothing.
I kind of agree with you on that, Jason.
I was too. It didn't like... I love the design of the new Moon Knight. I really do. I like that look.
I mean,
it looks cool. I don't
too.
Know if it's cool for Moon Knight.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That
bobblehead over there. Did you put that there?
J-Rob, he found it!
What the hell happened?
The book is his
well, I'm glad I didn't point that out earlier. All right, but it's a neat design. I just, you know, like, and I'm all for like a weird take on something, but it is a little too Rorschach-y for me.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, it is cool the way that he just beat the guy in like the first 2 seconds, and he was just talking to him the rest of the time. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time,
that is
like,
very much Watchmen.
It makes like the thing where the cop was talking to the guy and he's like, this is Mr. Knight. We just accept this. It's part of our job. Because if he was Moon Knight, then I would have to do something. Like, I don't know if that completely worked for me.
Yeah.
Oh, I set it up 10 minutes ago.
My big thing is, I'm sorry, if you're...
Oh, well, I was talking about Watchmen. Yeah.
If you're going to help out a vigilante, just help out the vigilante. You're doing something wrong against your code anyway. So just say it's Moon Knight, we're helping him out.
It's not like Commissioner Gordon says, this is Mr. Bat, and you will refer to him as
right.
Mr. Bat.
Yeah, for real.
Or, what's her face? The Wraith.
Captain Watanabe?
Yeah, Watanabe. I keep wanting to call her Yamamoto for some reason. And I think it's because I've been reading a lot of World War II stuff, and, you know, with him crashing. Anyway, sorry. I didn't much care for Moon Knight.
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It's just kind of there. Yeah, I'm curious to see what the person who's going to clean up Ellis's like take on this is going to
be. Maybe it'll be Nathan Edmondson.
Because I want to read a Moon Knight book. I like Moon Knight. I'm like Dan Slott, and it's like this weird cult of people where everyone likes Moon Knight, but no one ever reads his book. Because,
yeah, I remember David Finch was like obsessed with doing it, and they were like, fine, here's the book, and then no one read it.
Yeah, because it wasn't good. But
Who wrote it? Like Charles?
No, it wasn't Charles Soule. It was Greg Hurwitz.
Oh, yeah, that's Charles Soule.
Or it was... Well, Greg Hurwitz did the Vengeance of the Moon Knight thing, which was where they first apparently established this thing
Houston or something, or
it wasn't Chuck Houston.
Charlie Houston.
Yeah, Charlie Houston. That's who it was. I'm sorry, I was thinking Charles Soule, and who's the guy who's currently writing She-Hulk and did Thunderbolts for a while. But it's Charlie Houston, I think. And that's the one where like he finally beat up Bushman so bad that Bushman apparently died, and Moon Knight also cut off his face, which is why they say he cut off Bushman's face. And I've never liked that. I've always thought it was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. People seem to struggle with him as a character because there are people that want to, the entire time they do is denying the fact that he is just kind of a lot like Batman, and then there's people that just make him way too much like Batman. And, you know, it's fine for a character to be a response to another character. I mean, that's how, you know, like some stuff works sometimes. I mean, hell, all Watchmen is responses to other characters, and you don't have to even read those characters to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, but that's where like, you know, like the creative impetus came from and all this other stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Moon Knight was very okay. And it's like, it might be like really for real. Like it's definitely the first Marvel thing from Warren Ellis I think I've ever read, unless I've read Next Wave and just forgot about it. Or maybe he wrote that conspiracy thing I read in the early 2000s or late 90s. I don't know. But needless to say, I'm not deeply entrenched in like the work of Warren Ellis.
Only thing of his that I've ever really read and loved is Next Wave. I like Next Wave. I know it's not for everybody. Well, in Marvel or DC.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because there are people who hate Warren Ellis, but they still like Planetary.
Planetary's different. Planetary is, whenever he dies, he'll be known for Planetary.
Hmm.
I don't think he'll ever write anything as good ever again.
Yeah, but exactly. Like, is his best work behind him? Sometimes I think people would say yes, but
yes.
I mean, you know, whatever.
And the letters, you can only write them handwritten. That's my hipster comment on that.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, that is in the letters page, and I thought that was hilarious that they're only taking letters sent by snail mail.
Yeah. okay, whatever.
All right,
Avengers World.
Let's save that for last and do Fantastic Four.
I forgot Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four. Jace, you were very critical of the first issue of the last run of Fantastic Four.
Yes,
what did you think about this one?
I am also critical of this.
How so?
Because maybe it's just because I didn't read
previous run, the Fraction run?
Fraction run on it. I have no idea why things are the way that they are.
Well,
they introduce the characters.
Shit, man. You
got to
hit the ground running.
It's
like,
I guess, but they've got like just a little bit. Just like, give me a little bit. It starts off with her writing the letter, and I guess this is going to be – I guess – he's making Sue.
Yeah, that's
his
a
character.
Flash forward. Initially, like the first page and a half,
yeah,
I was like, wait, what?
I assume that this is going to be the end of the first arc. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're a Fantastic Four writer, you choose a character to go with, mm-hmm. and I guess he's picking Sue. Most people pick Reed, but I guess he wants to be different.
That's cool. I mean, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
Different perspective.
I feel like maybe James Robinson didn't read the previous runs. Beyond just what they told him to do, because there's some backtracking here and there on it. I mean, this issue is just whatever. It's a very average. I didn't hate it, but it's extremely average. And
the thing you're referring to specifically is Valeria apparently hanging out with Dr. Doom.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know if
she's
necessarily hanging out with Dr. Doom.
No, she left and she's with Doom right
now.
Yeah,
I mean, okay. I know she likes Doom.
I don't
Doom
get
a
that
lot.
At all.
That's the fulfillment of a promise first started by Chris Claremont back in 1998.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that was always to me the implication.
Yeah.
Like when he was the godfather. I was like, someday they're going to hang out.
And they named her and shit, yeah.
Yeah, like
why is he the godfather of her?
Because he delivered her.
He delivered her, yeah. He was the only one to... Because I think Reed and Ben were trapped somewhere and couldn't get to
she also had some weird magic thing that only
and he
could
had
dispel
to, yeah, he had to dispel it.
Well, Johnny came and got him and said, help us. Yeah.
Which, yeah, like, Doom has always had, like, a connection with her. And that's in the Hickman stuff,
that's
right? Where, like, she
right
talks Doom down from, like, fucking shit up sometimes.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of their thing. And that,
like, it
that
makes him, like, an uncle
is,
to them, which is you know.
She calls him Uncle Victor.
Yeah, I like them closing that loop. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
I just wanted to know why it happened just a little bit.
Yeah, apparently there were things that they didn't tell Valeria and she got mad and left. And I'm curious what, and I'm also,
I would like to know.
I was a little.
Where's Franklin? I have no
idea. Yeah, why isn't Franklin freaking out?
Like, well, I thought maybe he was with the rest of the kids.
He is. He's in there. He's got the five on.
Yeah, it's like,
I was just making sure. Dad, something, blah, 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 chocolate.
And then there's that with crazy little dragon guy. Like,
dragon man. He's a robot, or at least he was. Is he real now?
No, he's an android still.
Okay, still. Yeah. Okay.
Are you talking about Fintang
these other
Foon?
People came
no,
from?
No, Dragon Man.
Okay. I love Dragon Man.
You mean the purple dragon, not the big green one.
Right.
Okay, yeah. He's a robot. Fintang Foom, however, is like an alien.
Isn't Dragon Man, wasn't he Awesome Andy's like brother, technically? Didn't the Mad Thinker build him, too?
I believe so. It's been a while. But, yeah, I mean, he never talked before. He was always just a big monster.
And, like, I mean, I don't know. They make a big deal about changing costumes a lot in Fantastic Four, and I don't know if they chose red the last time.
Yeah, the red's weird.
Like they.
Yeah, I don't like it, but, you know, whatever.
It's weird, but they always – anytime the Fantastic Four change a costume, they mention why they do it. They always have. And this one is just bizarre that it's such a change and they mention nothing about it.
Like, why did they change to the white costumes?
Because Johnny died and they made the Future Foundation.
Yeah, and they wanted to change who they were. It was a big ordeal.
It was a big ordeal, and it was a very specific reason why they changed it. The black was there to symbolize the sacrifice.
Sue showed up all sexy, and John Byrne wrote about it. Like, that's the thing about
the boob window in the four? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where did he write about that? I'm curious.
Well, I mean, she was just like, here I am.
She was having a midlife crisis.
Oh, right. Yeah. The malice thing. I thought you guys were talking about in the 90s
and that's
with Tom
when
DeFalco.
That's when she was kind of hot for Namor a little bit more, too.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, when they got the white boots and gloves in the burn run, it's because they were in the negative zone, and the negative zone affected their outfits or something. I mean, they
because
never
their outfits are made out of unstable molecules. Yeah.
This is just a thing. It doesn't look good.
This wasn't a slight updating like when Ringo was drawing with Wade, and he like gave them like the raised fours on their chests and like the more obviously like lines going to it or whatever. I don't think they explained the Dale Eaglesham changes either, where he gave them really short like forearm shirts. This looked very like Reed always looked like a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Hilarious. I did like the scene for I did like and dislike a specific scene that would be Ben and Alicia together, and he shows up and's talking to her, and I'm like, oh my god, we're going back to this shit again. And she pretty much says that, and she's
that's
what I'm saying. I like that about it. And then she was like, we do this all the time. We break up and we get back together. And we break up and get back together. And I was like, that makes sense, and that was what she would do. And I liked their scene together, and I thought it meant something. But
I really liked that,
too. I felt like it cut off because I thought they were just going to go ahead and let's do this. Let's be together forever. And,
oh, I mean, they might still. Like,
I know, but I felt like that scene was so such a build to it that him just not proposing at that spot was just pulling it apart to do it later and really drew it back for me because – it was such a fast scene that it should have just happened right then. And I feel by not doing it, it's going to take impact of the romance out. And I think that should have been the slingshot for the rest of the run. But it didn't. So
I do wish he would ask her, why do you keep dating all of my friends?
Yes, right.
I also wonder why the hell did Johnny sign a contract saying he's not going to leave the planet Earth again?
Yeah, like that's the one thing in this that I can't say worked for me was the Johnny is a rock star thing.
Yeah,
that's odd.
I said, he's going back to it. Like I said, I don't know if you read the rest of the run because Johnny has like in the last decade come so far, and he's already
He died and was like king of the negative zone. That was an awesome.
Johnny was great when he came back.
Johnny was great when he came back because he was still the kidding Johnny. But he was a lot more mature about it.
Yeah, it's like writing Spider-Man in high school again.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's like...
Yeah, trust me, people still try to go back
exactly,
to that sometimes.
And it sucks. And this isn't good. I don't like him. I don't know.
At least Bendis like put his cards on the table. He's like, I want to write the teenage X-Men. I'm not going to make them teenagers again. I'm just going to bring the teenagers forward into now.
I mean, honestly, I think Jason may be suffering from this, and I kind of am too. It's really going to be hard to top Hickman's Fantastic Four anytime soon.
Well, I mean, I said that about Wade's, too. And, you know, you say that every time. I just think, you know, I don't think James Robinson's the guy to do it.
No, I don't think
he's not the kind of guy that can that do that anymore after, you know, when he left. Maybe before he left and then came back. Before he left, he may have been that kind of guy, but now he just hasn't done anything super quality since he's returned from making movies or whatever.
I mean, the Mon-El stuff that was in Superman I liked decently, but yeah, it was okay, very right? uneven.
But I mean, back in the day, whenever he was writing JSA, just,
exactly. And apparently and he totally knew, ripped off his own Golden, thing in Starman for the Mon-El thing.
Golden Age, was that the name of the Elseworld?
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff was great. I mean, that's where you knew Jim Robinson was a name from.
Yes,
and that's
exactly
why he's getting the work he does now.
Yeah.
But he's a pale comparison of what he was in the past. And this book was just very average.
I mean, it wasn't even like again
the fraction first issue was a bad comic. This was just average.
I'm very intrigued to see if by the end of the first arc they tell you why Ben's in jail and Reed's.
Oh, I hope so.
What I was laughing about is like
again, it's like a part one of five.
Yeah, exactly. It was like what I was laughing about is we see that stuff, and we may not see that for 2 years, or we may not see that ever because that's the kind of guy James Robinson is. He'll just leave and leave Marvel and never do anything else, and no one will wrap it up, and we'll never talk about it again.
Yeah,
I think that would be hilarious if it happened.
They'll just reboot Fantastic Four.
I just think it would be hilarious
and say that was the gas leak volume.
You know, but it was like the. What I felt like it was this was when how everyone criticized the Hickman's first six issues was like he doesn't care about Johnny, he hates Johnny, and he writes Johnny like he sucks,
and then he made Johnny the hero of his run.
Yeah, I mean they said that same thing about Mark Waid in the first three issues of
what, that he doesn't care about Johnny.
Yeah, and then he made Johnny great.
There was like a thing I really liked where Ben falls into the sidewalk or whatever, like boom,
and,
throws
oh,
him,
and Johnny's like,
"Oh my God, are you okay?"
Yes,
and he's like, "Yeah, I'm fine," and he's like, "Oh, okay then."
Yeah.
And he flies off. I was like, that's good. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, at least that, yeah.
I want more of that and less of like, yeah, bitches, let me sign off on this record contract.
Right.
The thing where he said the agent was showing his age, though, was great because he called him Pacepot Pete and the Asbestos Man. He's like, yeah, he's the Trapster now, and Asbestos Man is dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
that hard. Was kind of fun. Yeah.
It's hard to write a bad scene between Johnny and Ben, though, because that dynamic is always going to be there, and it's always going to be funny. And he'll always send him presents that have pies in his face from Yancey Street.
So it's Fantastic Four wasn't bad, but it's not, you know.
Chris, what did you think of it?
That's what I was gonna say is for me, you know, you guys always told me how good the who was it that wrote it?
Hickman.
You
guys, Hickman.
The Hickman run. Do they have that out in a trade?
There are four hardcovers that collect it.
There's an omnibus out.
There yeah, is?
I believe there's two. There's going to be a second volume coming out.
Oh, well, then I need to get those.
But
Or they just need to collect them on Comixology.
There should be more than four hardcovers. There should be eight.
Oh, well, maybe. No, I'm talking about the deluxe hardcovers.
I don't think they made those.
I thought they did.
Okay. But anyway.
But it's out
anyway,
there.
It's kind of like it didn't feel very. Like, I know the Fantastic Four, but I've never consistently read a Fantastic Four book. And it's kind of like what you said, Richard. It is very much like a one of four, a one of five. And, you know, I felt like if they're truly going to reboot the Fantastic Four, then, like, the first issue needs to be like a build-up, and then you can get into,
well,
like,
and there is a way to write a serialized book like that, too.
Did you guys read the
for as decompressed as this is, it yes. should probably establish, oh yes, they also have a school of kids, like a little bit better than just having them like pop into a
exactly.
scene.
Exactly. See, that's because people aren't going to know what it is. I mean,
like,
when they just show up.
If you're really on the outside, it should be like, well, we should go down and check on the kids in the school, and then they're down there fighting.
Right.
And
then they mention the Future Foundation,
you
or you walk
the,
past the sign of the Future Foundation.
The editor note at the end.
Or Mark Panichia.
Did you read it?
I did.
Okay.
I didn't.
I mean, the book is like he pretty much just says, I offered James Robertson to pitch it, and he said no, and I kept forcing him, and he finally said maybe. And that's pretty much what this book is.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Interesting. I thought you were going to go in a different direction then, where it's like they're very much trying to make this as much like the Lee Kirby stuff as they can.
Oh.
Which is why he's with Alicia. That's why, you know, they're going back into space. It's why they're fighting Fin Fang Foom. That's why they're name dropping Pacepot Pete.
Like when they get a guy that comes in and moves
and, you know,
away,
that is, that's what he's known for, is, exactly. like, you know, being able to write these old characters that aren't necessarily relevant to people now. That's why he's doing Invaders, which I haven't read either. And Jordan told me a funny story about it. He's like, yeah, for some reason, the Human Torch, Jim Hammond works at a gas station in that book. So when an alien attacks him, he blows it up. It's pretty dumb.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, it's funny. Like, the other Human Torch, the Golden Age.
Yeah, the Golden Age, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who these people from Dimension F are. I just assume they were Annihilus monsters or something.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I have no idea what the fuck they are.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it enough to keep reading it. I mean,
yeah, I want to keep reading it.
It's fine. I want to keep reading it, too.
Oh, like I said, it's not like that Fraction book where it just sucked.
Well, you said where they all seemed like they were friends hanging out for the first time in years or something?
Yeah, they're not a family at all. It's like, they felt like a family here enough. I mean,
I think they felt like, I get the impression I like this more than most everyone else did. I didn't love it, but, you know, it was good. It was solid. And, it, you know, like I always say, there's like two things. There's two types of Fantastic Four comics, the ones that everyone loves and then the ones that no one talks about. And there's a lot more of what people don't talk about than there is what, you know, people love to talk about.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you there's know, like I remember like FF 400 where, you know, like Reed Richards and Doom kill each other and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, like the new Fantastic Four and all that other stuff. But, you know, like people talk about, you know, Lee Kirby, they talk about Way, they talk about Hickman, they talk about Byrne.
Yeah, John Byrne.
And some, depending on who you talk to, they might talk about Wolfman and they might talk about Simonson. But
no one talks about Jeff Loeb.
Yeah, I mean, no one talks about the Chris Claremont stuff, which isn't bad.
The Chris Claremont stuff was actually
the Post-Heroes Reborn.
But, yeah.
You know. All right.
What'd you think of Leonard Kirk?
You think he's trying to look like Ringo?
Yep.
Okay, I'm glad I wasn't the only one who thought that, because some of his faces look very much like Ringo. And yeah. Leonard Kirk's got a relatively distinct style.
Yes, he does, and this didn't look like him at all.
Yeah.
And Carl, maybe you know, he's just trying something different for this
book. Did you guys know
Carl
Kessel quit?
Yeah.
He's credited in the book.
I mean, the 3 issues after this.
Yeah.
Oh.
I saw that on the...
Why did he quit?
I don't know.
Interesting.
He's been in the book since 94?
Yeah. 98,
I
don't know.
I swear it was like 1991 or something.
Which doesn't bode well.
Yeah, it's been on, and like, he's been on for a lot of shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I mean, he's like
he's on for Heroes Reborn.
I mean, Kirk also drew a few issues here and there.
Mm-hmm. He
and
wrote a few,
couple.
Too.
Yeah, he wrote
I think he wrote the one where they finally just said that Ben's Jewish.
Did do that, yes.
All right, so Avengers World?
Yeah, Avengers World. Mike, what did you think? You seem very enthusiastic about it.
This is how Avengers should have been written from the get-go.
I totally agree with you.
Because
okay, good, good. I'm glad we're on the same page here.
Because this is how you have a team of a large group of people and make
God,
it manageable.
Yes.
We read Avengers World 1-3, and
yes.
So they introduced...
It's coming out pretty quick.
Yeah. They introduce the team, which is very similar to the original to the Avengers team from Avengers number 1. You know,
it's basically like the Avengers. It's just
right.
They happen to be in a book that fucking reads well and makes sense.
And you know, so first off, you've got Cap and Bruce going to talk to Maria, and that's establishing, hey, S.H.I.E.L.D. is pulling the Avengers strings right now.
I did hate that. Captain America called him Dr. Banner, but that's like the literally really the only problem I
have. My guess there was because they're at S.H.I.E.L.D., he didn't want to be too familiar, or at least because he's Cap there instead of Steve.
It's like the Who's Moon Knight thing.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, all right, whatever.
But, we'll and I it. Mean, dear Jesus, he could, I mean, this could not have been set up any more perfect for a serialized comic story.
Yeah, I like the format.
You have teams at different positions.
I love
and
it.
And guess what? Issue 2 focused on one fucking team. Hey, who's going to be in this book? Oh, look, their names are lit up on the front goddamn page.
It's nice.
And nobody else is in the damn book.
So yeah. do you think that means that Avengers, the reboot, was a product of Infinity being written very quickly? And they said, hey...
Yes.
We need you to set up Infinity like
yes,
now.
I do. I really do, because I feel like this is the Avengers book he wanted to write.
I mean...
That might be the case, because it's kind of that setup,
yep.
But without all of the, you know, X-Nilo stuff.
And now...
Or next issue is going to be the test, because that's the story that has Starbrand and Night Mask,
and
whose costume is just the fucking stupidest thing in
the dress?
World.
Yes. Yeah. The
space
star
dress.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I'm really very intrigued.
He's a half naked wizard.
To see what Aim Smasher is going to be doing. I loved that.
Yeah, no,
when
it's
Smasher's
good that they
costume
did more stuff
got
with Smasher.
Also, Aim. Well, I love this book. Avengers World was really super fun.
It is a fulfillment of the promise
of the
hype.
Of Hickman on Avengers, yes.
Where people were like, oh, this is going to be amazing or whatever. Because, I mean, you know, like, New Avengers is great and everything.
Yes.
I do love it.
And
Avengers is just... Avengers has been...
I don't know if you all liked it or not. I'm pretty much in love now with how Sunspot and Cannonball are sitting there just joking the entire time.
Them getting taken out was the most they have done in the Avengers since they joined the team.
But them sitting there talking about
yogurt.
Them talking about Kirk and Spock. And then, okay, Bendit Cumberbatch or Ricardo Montalban. I just
Ricardo
thought
that, Montalban.
Yeah. It also talks
There's no
about
question.
Them. You know, they were always like, oh, are they gay?
Now I just think that they're buddies.
Oh, yeah, now they're just buddies.
Like, I don't know.
A threesome
like,
couple.
It's really, it was, no, in the old Avengers book, it was really hard to tell.
Yeah, you really couldn't.
But with this, because
they're always working out together. And
because the pacing.
They know about each other's diets.
The pacing like, in this book is so tight, and you have time to spend with individual characters now.
Yeah,
because
like
you have a whole issue. Yeah,
who Shang-Chi is than you did in the entire.
Oh my
bit
gosh,
up to this
the
point.
Shang-Chi stuff was amazing.
Was great. I fucking hate
Shang-Chi
Gorgon,
versus,
but that was a cool story.
I like Gorgon. I like Gorgon, and that was really fucking cool. That whole battle between Shang-Chi and Gorgon, because where he's talking about his ancestors and the spirits and stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so cool. And then it was like, oh yeah,
like
all three
thing.
Of those people died.
Yeah.
Wah wah.
Like the Madripoor in the back of a dragon thing, I'm not crazy about it, whatever. Who cares? I enjoyed the story.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal.
Yeah, that was weird.
Avengers World, I'm totally bought in. I mean that's a book I want to continue reading.
It surprised the fuck out of me. I guess Hickman and Spencer work well together because it seems like this played to both of their strengths and none of their weaknesses. Because while I do love Superior Foes of Spider-Man, sometimes like the in-jokey stuff is just like a little too much, and I don't know. It's just kind of like you roll your eyes at it, but you know you're enjoying the book so much. Otherwise, you don't care because like when that stuff pays off, it's usually great. There's a great thing with Silvermane in it, but like I said, I think this fulfills the promise of what the Avengers book should have been all along. I don't know what other people are saying about it, but just the fact that it reads like you're not having a stroke while doing so
is a
huge testament to how much better it is than just Avengers.
Like, I feel like I don't have to be as apologetic to the previous Avengers book because now I can point to, oh, you want to see Hickman write Avengers? Look at Avengers World.
Yeah, and we'll check out Rogue Planet, which is like the new number one in regular Avengers here in a little bit.
I will say this, because I read some of those, the regular Avengers, the new ones, and when I saw the tagline, well, it worked for the all-new X-Men. Why can't we just bring back the original Avengers?
Oh,
and
yeah, like, the solicit. I was like, oh, man, I don't know. But I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see. But, yeah, no, it was an interesting...
I'd say if I had to rank what we read, very easily I'd say Avengers World would be on the top, followed very closely by Ms. Marvel. And then probably New Warriors. And then after that, it's kind of a...
Fantastic Four and Moon Knight?
Yeah, Fantastic Four and Moon Knight.
I mean, I think Moon Knight was at the bottom of the pile.
Oh, most definitely, yeah.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It's there. It's cool if you're way into it. At the same time, a lot of it doesn't work for me. You know? And even then, I think I liked it more than most, like the rest of you.
Oh, yeah, no.
I think I like most of these books, with the exception of the ones you guys love, more than, like, you know...
I didn't love anything.
Yeah?
I only really liked something.
Jason,
you didn't love Avengers World? I didn't love it. Yeah. But I liked it.
Jason's lost the capacity to love.
maybe, but I just I liked it. But I don't know if I loved it. I liked it.
I mean, there like, and this is like the thing where all the people coming off of the back of, you know, like Avengers the movie are like, what Avengers book should I read? This
Avengers
should be the
World.
One, not
Avengers.
Avengers.
World. Yes, Avengers
like,
World.
Read Avengers World because it tells, like, you don't need to know anything about Shang-Chi other than that he's like a kung fu badass fighting kung fu badass.
It's a really good book.
It's cool.
It's a good book. It is, and I think it has the potential to be even better.
They reiterated enough of Smasher's origin for people to be up on her, and I'm assuming they're going to do something similar with Nightmask and Starbrand in the next issue.
I thought it was kind of interesting. Did they establish... This is going to be sad if they did, and I just don't remember it. Did they say that her grandfather was Captain Terror in the first Avengers book?
You know, I don't remember.
I remember the mask.
Yeah. I mean,
but
he
I
is.
Don't remember if it was...
I don't think they did.
If it was established that he was actually Captain Terror.
I think it's clear with this book that anything related to Infinity doesn't work and hasn't worked.
The New Avengers stuff was fine. It just
New
felt
Avengers
dragged
barely,
out.
You see, that's the thing. New Avengers was like not really related to Infinity like almost at all. And that book existed outside of it.
I really
and
think that here, here's
Avengers,
the thing:
you read Infinity, you're like, I think the
New Avengers stuff with the extra planets and stuff got shoehorned into Infinity.
I think it did.
I really feel like that was.
We needed all the Avengers books to tie in.
Yeah, exactly. I really feel like that's what I'm saying. It was its own thing, yes. because multiple Earths popping up sounds like something that the Illuminati would be taking care of.
Yeah, which, yeah. like, you know, well, I remember that saying this. I was like, I'm very stressed about Infinity because I think it's going to derail this awesome story that's going on in New Avengers, and it kind of didn't, but at the same time, you know, it slowed it down.
It slowed it down.
Yeah, I concur 100%.
It derailed that momentum.
Yeah, but Avengers World has a lot of potential to just be a
and
fun
maybe na- And maybe now that everything else is done...
Yeah, because
the main Avengers book will streamline itself back.
Boy, some of those Infinity tie-ins, man, they are like as ancillary gets. Like,
yeah.
They could not possibly be more tertiary than there. It's just like people fight one of Thanos' monsters in New York for two issues.
Well, remember the Infinity, Crisis.
I mean, Ms. Marvel was kind of ancillary
Infinite
tie-in
Crisis.
Or whatever, but it still worked.
Not Infinite Crisis.
Crisis on Infinite Earths?
No. Sorry. Identity Crisis.
Identity Crisis.
They were worthless.
Yeah?
They were worthless. Those were the most hilarious tie-ins ever.
Here's the thing. Children of the Atom is a good crossover. Battle of the Atom, rather. I'm sorry.
Children of the Atom's the 90s
video
Capcom game.
Yeah. Battle of the Atom was a well-done crossover.
It fell apart at the end, but
in
I enjoyed
that X-Men
it.
Universe.
Yeah.
What it looks like the Trial of Jean Grey is going to do, at least they have part one on the fucking cover of the book. If you're going to do a weird, like Infinity, I think what hurt Infinity the most, more than anything, I didn't know how to read the books.
It told you the
yeah. There's a little
order.
Postcard they gave out that had a reading order.
Yeah,
but even
at that
it,
point,
it
still had no idea.
It doesn't help.
And
yeah, it doesn't help.
I followed it exactly.
I did because when you read an anthology, it automatically.
Yeah,
I felt like I was out of order still.
Yeah, it was.
You could have
totally
told everything that happened in the Avengers issues in an issue and a half of Avengers, and not like seven issues.
I just think Infinity derailed 6 months worth of Marvel stuff.
Infinity,
because it's a fucking mess, man. It's a trash heap.
It is. We will have to Infinity will be studied as
by
ancient society.
Here's the thing:
what the fuck was this in literature?
What Marvel should do?
What
Marvel
doing?
What Marvel should do? Yeah, if you want to have some tie-in books, fantastic. Release this stuff as an OGN or something. It really feels like Infinity was only set up to reestablish Thanos, and
which it barely does.
Yeah, exactly. And
it negates him at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah.
It means
and to get the Inhumans where they needed them to be. Okay, then have a fucking 4-issue miniseries
about the Inhumans.
And maybe
like
have
since he did in the 80s.
A couple of books that tie into it, and then be done with it.
Hey, this was them in anticipation moving chess pieces for Avengers 2 next year. It was putting Thanos in a place where everyone knew where he was so that they could play that card when they need it to, right, as Avengers 2 is
you're 100% right.
Or Avengers 3 or whatever.
It's like those hieroglyphics they find with, like, cats with rocket packs on.
Yes.
That's what I feel Infinity is.
But, yes, Avengers World, woo!
Yeah, so good on that. Good for you, Nick Spencer and Jonathan Hickman.
Good job, guys.
It felt more like the Secret Avengers book that I really enjoy.
Yes,
so
it did. Yes.
Perhaps it. I don't know how Secret Avengers is going to be when it relaunches, other than that I really don't like that guy's art at all.
Yeah.
The Alice Cott guy.
Yeah.
Or wait, that's the writer. I don't know who the artist is. Boy, I don't like it
at
all.
Who's the artist on World?
It's Stefano Caselli, who I think is a really underappreciated talent.
Who do they do?
The Initiative.
Oh, he did Initiative?
He is a Spider-Man artist. Worked with Slott, but yes.
He didn't look like that in Initiative at all.
Like, get into it. It becomes that. He grew a lot as an artist in that book, and I thought it always looked great. I like his stuff a lot, and he keeps getting better.
I also think that that's what made Avengers World so good for me, too, is the art is phenomenal.
Yeah. Did you guys read the Amazing Spider-Man issue that was like the Johnny tribute?
Yes.
Because he drew the modern story where they were in the negative zone.
Oh, okay.
That was great. Okay.
Yeah. So, he keeps getting better, and I'm a big fan.
Yeah,
I like
awesome.
Him a lot.
He's awesome.
Desperately I wish he was.
He's a good choice for this because he's really good at making faces look completely different on everyone.
He's the anti-David Finch.
Yeah, exactly. He's very distinct. So you can remember who people are.
And, like, I don't know. Like, there was something about Smasher, for example. She looked more distinct with her costume than she did. What are you rolling your eyes for?
I'm listening to Jared play bass. Oh. He's like butchering my poor bass.
I don't know. I really enjoyed that book. So now I will say, preview for the next time we talk comics, everybody. We're reading Amazing X-Men.
Yes.
And
it's got one part left. Yep. I thought it was going to have two more, but then I saw it was like
One of five,
and I was, or like three of five, and I was like, oh, I didn't, whoops.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in talking about Amazing X-Men.
Huh?
I said I'm very interested in talking about it.
I'm just saying, man. I'm digging me some Jason Aaron now.
Yeah, no, he made Storm cool for a second, which is really hard to do.
A specific second. Very specific second.
But, you know, it's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Who do you guys think Captain Jack is? Do you think he's Jack the Ripper?
Yeah, it is. He says Whitechapel.
Oh, okay.
So Captain Jack is Jack the Ripper. Captain Kidd is Billy the Kid. There was another one. It seems like
Captain Garrett.
Don't
Jesus, Michael.
All right. So
shit.
There you go, everyone. Check out Avengers World if you feel like reading an Avengers book.
That's right,
Captain Caligula.
Yeah, the big. Blobby looking thing.
Avengers World.
Avengers World. That is a wholehearted recommendation.
So sadly, we must leave you guys. But in the wait between episodes, there's always things for you guys to do, such as go to our website at www.planbanter.com, home of Plan Banter. You can find us on Twitter at Plan Banter, and you can email us at planbanter@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/planbanter. Go like us. And while you're liking us on there, why don't you go like Chris Kinzel Photography? And everyone be sure to check out the Twitter for Chris's photography, at Kinzel Photos. You know, if you want to listen to some music, you can find Jason's band, Clinch, at Clinch Band, and clinchmusic.com and reverbnation.com/clinch. And also facebook.com/clinch. You can also find our friends, Engineer Nerd, of tvandfilmtoys.com. You can find him on Twitter, at Engineer Nerd. And you can also listen to him on the Action Figure Blues podcast, which is found at actionfigureblues.com. You can follow them on Twitter, at AFBlues. Our friend Grey Matter Splat, at Grey Matter Splat. Our friend David, at FakeEyes22. Our friend Lemon Juice McGee, at Lemon Juice McGee. And our very special pal, Newton Gimmick, at Newton Gimmick, him of InfiniteHollywood.com, and a sometimes contributor to UnderscoopFire.com. Shazam! We'll be right back.